What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. He's a question. What's up, Nick?
Now, I threw this out in Slack, and I didn't bother to check if you responded to it, but I figured we could do it on the show on the day. Do you remember the 1988 slap that was RoboCop, dance till you drop, do the RoboCop? Do you remember that one?
No, but I wish I did.
Never mind then. Please disregard.
How can I disregard that? That's amazing.
Please disregard.
Was it? Okay. Did RoboCop dance in the music video?
Was no. I don't know how this came about, but it was stuck in my head. So I was like, Mike, here's this cool song.
Talking about this.
Mike's like, oh, that's cool. We'll do. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Nick, because I don't know anything about movies from 2015 and before. So I was like, I'm gonna play this for you, and it is that same. Like skate, like you go to this roller rink in the 1980s and yeah. It's just that quintessential 80s sound. And for some reason, someone was like, we need a dope song for RoboCop the movie. And the only thing they could come up with was like an all skate song.
Sure. But I don't know. That tracks is a dope song, if you ask me.
Thank you.
Why are you
didn't write the song? I don't know.
He gets the credit. Good job.
I got the credit for it. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin understands me. Kevin, you know what? You guys, me and Kevin are forming our own company. We've drawn you all here because we're going to hire Cameron, and we're going to form our own company out of all three of our initials. It's going to be CKN. No, I don't like that. We'll come up with something later. We'll come up with something better later.
You're so close to Nick. Nick.
Yeah, you're right.
Independent.
You just need an I. Who's an I?
Yeah, no, Nick. You guys are independent now. NCK. NCK is Nick. Nick at Night.
So now you're dropping Kevin.
NCK, Kevin. Nick, Cameron, Kevin.
Yeah.
Do we know anyone that has an I in their name? Who do we know that the community has an I in their name?
Idris Elba.
Imran,
there you go. We can form Nick. Do you think Imran would want to form a company with my name on it?
Do you think
he'd risk career suicide for that?
Imran's going to be like, oh, is Greg there? No. Tim? No. Oh, Nick.
Oh, blessing. You got Kevin. Blessing, though, right? You got somebody games related, right, to be part of this company?
Nah, bro. We don't believe that shit.
We're you, Imran. Bro. Huh, all right. Well, that's something to think about. All the way from far Texas, of course. He's the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat Latino. He clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Just cracked open a little big red action.
Ooh.
We're about to have ourselves a good podcast.
If you don't mind
everybody.
Me joining you, Andy, I'm going to do something similar. As you know, everybody, I'm sure you're following my exploits here on kindoffunny.com. I am continuing to try to find the coffee I want, the iced coffee to drink in the afternoon from the refrigerator. And this one won me over the other day at Whole Foods because it kind of looks like a little liquor bottle.
It does.
Looks like a flask. You know what I mean?
A little bit of the old medicine, as they used to call it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looked like albuterol or some sort of cough medicine for sure.
You know, it reminds me of Ghostbusters, Nick. You remember the scene?
I don't know. No,
remember that scene?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. People expect results.
What's the flavor, karma. Greg?
This is Jittery John's Cold Brew Coffee Espresso Blend, crafted with single origin beans.
Huh.
It's coffee that moves you. Single origin specialty beans sourced from smallholder farms in the Colombian Andes Mountains.
Locally roasted. The Colombian Andes Mountains.
I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's only Tuesday. Feels like a Friday energy level. We're going to have a great show. He's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
That's the most, Nick. I'm very upset that I don't know that song because that sounds right up my alley. When I was little.
It's in the general. You want to listen to it right now, everyone? We're not going to get claimed for this.
No,
for the RoboCop song?
Yeah.
Wait, it's in the general. What do you mean? Oh, it's in the general Slack.
I put in general Slack. Maybe, or
am
maybe
I the only human being that when somebody says the general, you think of the auto insurance guy?
My apologies. I put it in random. It's in random right now.
Time, go to the general and save some time.
I try to block that out because I think it's arguably the worst commercial ever. But then it's Shaq in it, and you're like, it might be the best.
I asked Shaq if he knew the general personally.
Yeah.
He just didn't give me a clear answer.
He scrapped his head.
Sure. I don't know if this guy's joking around with me or not, but
was he in a commercial with the general or did you just
he's the many, general guy? Many.
Okay. Shaq went from being on
he's
an NBA championship team, like 7 years in a row, to being the spokesperson for
everything.
What many would consider
everything
to be a second rate insurance company.
No, but Nick, he's a spokesperson for everything.
Wow.
Like, name an American brand.
Does he gamble? What is his problem? What is his problem?
Nick, he doesn't want to be like William the Refrigerator Perry, washed up, no teeth, no money. He gambled all his money. He lost all his money, all right? Shaq instead invests in businesses. And from what I understand, Andy, back me up, he only invests in the businesses he uses. Like, he likes that business if he does it, which makes me go, maybe the general isn't all that bad. Because the general, of course, looks like a warmonger. You know what I mean? He's probably done a hate crime or two whenever
he looks exactly like a warmonger. That guy has killed so many people in foreign countries that we'll never know about because the Washington Post is
he was the one going up there being like, there are weapons of mass destruction. This isn't about the oil. He lied to our fucking faces, the general.
Wait, he's the one that made us go into Iraq? That's his fault?
That's what I was driving at, yeah.
Is it
Donald Rumsfeld?
It's him. Is he bigger or not as important as Dick Cheney?
Maybe we shouldn't do this to Cam.
Before we get to Cam,
knew what he signed up for.
Before we get to Cameron Kennedy, I want to do the quick rundown. The big field general, in quotes, is what this article is calling him. I've never ever heard anybody call Shaq the big field general. It's always the big Shaqtus or
Shaqalaka Ding Dong.
Yeah, he just always has a nickname or whatever.
Shaqalaka Ding Dong.
He takes $22 million in a year through endorsement deals from Arizona Cream Soda, Icy Hot, Gold Bond, Buick, The General, Pepsi, Reebok, and Zales. And recently, Zales. He apparently has 17, he's, I guess, invested in 17 different Auntie Anne's pretzel restaurants, 50 different car washes, 155 Five Guys Burgers and Fries franchises, Muscle Milk, a movie theater with no name in front of it, and Krispy Kreme. This guy's just all over the place.
That's 775 guys.
This is what I want for all of us. Kevin, I'm going to give you $15. Please turn that into a multi-billion-dollar fucking franchise for me. Can you do that for me? Can I be an entrepreneur? I give you $15 in 1 year. I'm Shaq.
That'd be so cool if we could pull that off.
Here's my question. How many shares of Kinda Funny are we willing to give up to make Shaq a co-owner?
Before we do that, Greg, can you please, for the love of fucking God, introduce Cameron Kennedy?
First off, it's been 7 minutes, all right? Yeah. You've already mentioned Cameron Kennedy several times, but ladies and gentlemen, he's the emperor of the intro. It's Cameron Kennedy. Hello, Cameron.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're great. How are you? Is this what you signed up for? Are you ready for this? Huh?
I assumed it'd be something like this. I feel like I've never seen ads in the U.S., but I've learned a lot about them from the show. So, this is pretty par for the course.
Where are you?
I'm in Canada. I'm in Nova Scotia.
When Cameron said this is pretty
pointed Nova Scotia.
When he said this is pretty par for the course, I thought he'd say this is pretty powerful stuff. He's like, it is, right?
He has a lot of allies.
All right, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, Cameron, how many shares should we give Shaq?
Yeah. Great question.
Of your company?
Yeah.
Great question.
I mean, if he has an investment in it, give him whatever you want. I feel like he's going to bring
some real effort to it, right? Here's the problem, though.
What is he going to bring? A headline on ESPN tomorrow that Shaq just invested in a YouTube company. Shaq's a part owner of Kinda Funny.
What does that do, though?
And then
can we be honest? Like,
what happens?
What brings people to the general?
Because that was the whole point of us partnering with Rooster Teeth, and they forgot about us. Tim called me the other day, like, you guys are still fucking alive? We're like, yeah, can we be a part of RTX this year? And they're like, I guess. And do we have a midnight slot?
You can be part of RTX, just please don't insult all of the other Rooster Teeth properties.
You can do that thing you do where Greg drinks out of his fucking nom nom bottle and starts yelling about Jeff Ramsey.
Dude, it makes me definitely. It's just coffee, I swear to God. But
you look like an alcoholic.
Definitely so makes me feel like I'm drinking on the street and I'm mad at people.
You look so cool. Can you do this? Can you do that thing? Nah, I love that.
Snaps.
Snowmike says. Snowmike, you're saying I should give 35.
I'm sorry, what was that, Cameron?
Oh, Mike was just saying in the Discord to give 35%.
Wow. I was thinking we give him a share, Mike.
1%.
Mike, Mike doesn't understand how money works. I just want everyone to know that. Kevin will back me up on this.
He does not. He truly, truly does not.
It's true. The amount of money he spent on.
I spent $100 today on our stream. I was like, Mike, stop doing that. You're paying yourself.
Just love when my favorite thing is when there's a multiplayer game and we're just like, Mike, don't buy this for everybody, okay? Please. Like, we know that Splitgate is free. You're going to somehow figure out a way to buy it for everybody.
God.
This explains so much of why Nick and Mike are such good friends.
No.
They're both just, like, needlessly spending money on things.
Yes. Difference is, though, I like spending your money, Tim. I don't like spending my own money on things. Mike, it turns out, all this time, Mike has been with us for 8 months now, right? Mm-hmm. He has shared multiple games with me. I thought you were reimbursing him for that. I thought he had the company card or was I think he's just been buying us all these games.
Oh my God.
You can't put Greg out like that. Well, that's the thing. Greg's having a baby. We can't put him out like that.
Legitimately, it's not a funny joke. We need to stop. Make him stop doing that.
He can do whatever he wants to do. He just needs to stop doing it.
Here's the thing, though. It's like a lot of people in this company where they know the correct way to get it reimbursed. They just don't want to do it because they're lazy. And I respect that. And then I don't ask questions.
Oh my gosh, the amount of times I have not asked for reimbursement from all the movies that I've rented because the quality sucks on this other thing. And like, sure, that's my fault for wanting the more expensive thing. But it's like, it's just like, Tim, when I was making t-shirts when I first like was at Rooster Teeth, and you're like, you and Nick were like, all right, send us an invoice. Oof. Send you an invoice. How that's do I hard. What the
yeah.
Oof. I don't know. But you know what?
It's
persona non grata, or what's the phrase I'm
looking for?
Pro
bono. Persona non grata. You're looking for pro bono. No, it was the same way for me in college, Andy, where when I did the hit comic strip in the Mizzou newspaper. It looked a lot like it was the Adventures of Gary and Quinn. Right. It was very topical and funny because Gary Pinkle was the football coach, Quinn Snyder was the basketball coach. I got yelled at by Quinn Snyder once about it. No big deal. However, when I was doing that, I went in and then, I started, they were publishing them and I walked in. I'm like, can I get paid for this, by the way? And like, of course, you just need to fill this out and bring back your social security card. And I was like, oof. And I just did it. I just for a whole semester did it for free because I was like, I'm not going to call my mom. I know who knows where the social security card is.
I've been in that situation so many times. When I was in that was all of my 20s. Do you remember how, at IGN, they were like, guys. No, what kicked me out of it, though, was IGN. And I owe IGN
having a real job.
Well, it wasn't just having a real job. It was the first trip I went on. I was like, hey, how do I do expenses? And they go, you put them on. You do the expenses and then they're yours. You pay for them and then you expense that back to the company and then it gets paid on your paycheck.
Yeah.
So they would always pay them, but you had to have your own credit card that you could put the expenses on. So it was like a hotel or whatever. And I was like, this seems really kind of crazy. But they're like, no, if you do this right, you get hella points on your credit card and then you get that back and you can get so shit. So it helped my credit, but it also helped me be like, I don't have the $1,500 to cover this trip. I just took to Las Vegas to see UFC fucking 3 starring Rampage Jackson or whatever it is. So I need to get this expensed ASAP. And from that point on, I was always on top of my expenses. But there were people like in the editorial department that probably still owe – that IGN still owes like $50,000.
Dude, no, for me, because like when I started, it was under Fox, so we had the American Express cards. So it was.
But those were tied to your credit, though.
No, it wasn't tied to your
credit.
They
were. Yes, that was the trick with those. Those, no, that was.
The thing about it, it wasn't.
Really? Because if you didn't pay that off, they were going to come after you, not Fox.
Well, yeah, they come after you, but it wasn't your credit. I know this because I can take you back to the phone call from American Express being like, hey, this is 90 days past due. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not on my credit. Like, it's not about that. You need to pay it off. I'm like, all right, cool. I need to file the expense report. And they're like, all right, but can you pay in between that? Because I hadn't filed the expense like 6 months. And they were like, I was like, no. And there's just silence. And they're like, all right, I guess we'll give you another 30 days. Like, it was like this weird playing around. It wasn't until we got bought by the other guys that we started using our own cards. And the next.
I thought, and sorry to disagree with you on this one. My interpretation was I went to accounts payable and I was like, hey, how does this work? And they were like, this is your personal credit card. It just says Fox on it. So it's a charge card basically that says Fox. It's tied to an overall, like it got more perks. And from what I understood, it was like they were getting perks out of us using their cards for some fucking weird way. And then eventually
I had a Franz card and I just use Franz card all the time. I had Franz card in my wallet for way more years than I should have. Sure. I'm going to be
completely honest. I have a social security card.
The amount of Panda Express I put on that shit that was like not for anything relevant, it was paid for. I didn't pay for it.
Cameron, if people don't know you, who are you?
Who are
you? In relation to Kind of Funny, I make motion graphics for the In Review shows. And I think along with maybe one or two other things I've done before. outside of that, they probably don't know me, but I am a local filmmaker in Nova Scotia. So if you happen to live around here, maybe you've run into me then. But aside of that, yeah. And in terms of my online presence, I make motion graphics for you guys.
At Cameron Ken on Twitter. You've probably seen it for years. He had the fun little comic art version of this beautiful face we're looking at right now. And yeah, like I think it was, I mean, we've known you for years just from being in the chat, hanging out, chat gang, all that stuff. But it wasn't until Spider-Verse that you made a in-review for what Spider-Verse might look like. And it was the fucking dopest thing I have ever seen, where I was like, holy crap, this guy gets it. This guy understands what makes a hype intro, because you took the fun little glitchy motion graphics thing from the Spider-Verse intro that was all the different Spider-Man logos kind of, you know, flipping between the Tobey Maguire and the Amazing Spider-Man and like the modern ones and all, and the little cowgirl shooting the things from the, was it Columbia Pictures, right, Nick?
Yeah, Columbia Pictures.
Yeah, that's the Columbia Pictures is the woman with the thing from
with the torch.
Yeah. Like jumping through all that stuff, but you did it with the kind of funny logos, and you went back and like found old kind of funny logos to like jump between. And I was like, dude, that is cool as hell. Like such a small little detail that if you know, you know, but otherwise it just looks cool because it's all glitchy and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, this is
that's the type of stuff that goes on the director's commentary when Edgar Wright is like, actually, the marking on that sleeve, that's in reference to whatever. Like that's the stuff that like the hardcore people will know, and the stuff that we appreciate when we see and go, wow, a lot of attention to detail right here, dude.
100%.
That was you guys, I think it was Kind of Funny Day 2019, and I think you guys mentioned on the stream that was a Friday you were going to record, or maybe you're going to post something on the Monday. Was when Spider-Verse was going up, so Saturday morning, I think I threw it together because it was like, there's a chance they might want to use this, so, but there's a very tight turnaround for that, so yeah.
And then since then, I've kept you on tight turnarounds forever because I am a horrible person that, you know, tries my best at scheduling things, but you've been amazing. Like, the amount of times, I'll go for it, Nick.
How many times have you had this? You look at your phone.
God.
Tim Gettys. You answer, you're like, all right, and he goes, okay, here's the deal. Here's the thing. We're doing Don't Breathe in review in 15 minutes. Can you get us an intro? You can say no, but I'm going to talk you into saying yes.
But it could be pretty cool.
It could be cool. I'm like, fuck, it could be cool. All right, yeah, I'll do it.
I usually get, I'll say, pretty good amount of time before things. But nice. There are, yes, occasionally, like, hey, here's about 5 review series we're about to do. We don't know yet which one's going to be first, but we're starting one of them next week.
So. Yeah, that's amazing. Fuck,
that sucks. I'm sorry, amazing. Man. So close your eyes and point at the screen and like just pick one and start that one first.
Any consolation, that's just, I mean, I'm sure you're seasoned enough now to understand that is just the life of the motion graphics artist. That is the life of like the freelance production work. Actually, it's just all production work, truth be told. Because there's so many variables in what we do that like week to week shit just changes, man. And that's what's awesome about you is that you're able to sort of pivot and make awesome work no matter what, which is cool.
Well, that's my favorite thing about working with Cam, especially now that we've worked together for like 2 full years of across like what, like 20 different intros, probably.
Jesus. I have the numbers, 36 intros. If I include variants, 56.
56.
If I include variants,
and Star Wars is like 12 of those variants, but
yeah. But see, that's what's awesome is that, you know, we try our best in scheduling, and like there's so many factors that go into interview, like planning and stuff, but I try to get to you as soon as possible to at least let you know what's down the pipeline. But then we eventually got Carter Harrell involved too with the music, doing the custom Kind of Funny jingle versions of things, which is so much better. And then the two of you working together is just this beautiful thing. But what I love about you with the interview stuff is I'll tell you the series, and in the same way that you do such a good job of like, we're going to go back and find the old Kind of Funny logos and like show them off. And just like Andy's saying, it's like, it's that director's commentary of like, if you know, you know, and it's so much extra cool. You also do such a good job of being like, all right, there's only 2 movies in this franchise. I'm not going to work too hard on this. It's going to be a much simpler in review. Oh, there's 13. I'm going all out and I'm going to hand draw, animate all you guys as DC characters or Mission Impossible or whatever.
That's why there's certain ones you can tell, like ones like Bad Boys, where it's like, all right, I'll just throw up some random lights and I'll use the Kind of Funny logo like 3 times in it just to have something in there. That's usually you'll see if that's that smiley shows up, that's usually to fill in some space because like I might be out of ideas at that point.
I feel
how
that.
Long does it take you to do? Like, I mean, I guess it varies like you're talking about, but like what's a normal basic, you're throwing up some lights, and then the one, yeah, you're going crazy and doing something insane.
It depends. I know something like the Monsterverse one, I think I sat down, finished in like 2 hours maybe. Whereas like the MCU one, I think I worked on that for maybe a month on and off. And I really had done like prep work for it. I think right after Spider-Verse, I originally like did some testing on some things because I knew that's something you guys did already. It would be easy for me to try and get some practice in there. But usually it varies of like, I can probably knock it out in 2 evenings, I would think.
Okay.
It depends. If I'm drawing a lot, then it's a bad idea, but I've gotten better about not trying to do frame by frame animation on things. I try and cheat around it a little bit, but
yeah, you can cheat it. You don't got to do 60 frames every frame and animate. Like, that's why the greats only do like 12 frames a second or whatever. But even then, it's like, okay, this thing's going to be on screen for this long. How much should I really put into this?
Yeah,
if that's I need to have Andy like, you know, sticking his arm up in the air. That's 3 frames, maybe. Like, who cares? Yeah. It's all good.
I learned my lesson with the first official one was Mission Impossible, and I was dying by the second day I was working on it because I thought rotoscoping, that seems easy enough, and no, that was killing
no,
me.
It is not.
I'll never forget. I worked on a project one time for my buddy Anthony. This is when we were all running that freelance, that sweet freelance game at IGN, where Fran was like, "Well, just make sure I don't, you know, ever find out about it." And I was like, "Cool, I'm gonna go work on DirecTV commercials for my buddy." Anyway, one of the DPs of this commercial put a green fern in front of a green screen. Now, when you have a green fern in front of a green screen, it keys out the fern also. So I had to go in there and rotoscope out the leaves of a fern, and it took me like 3 weeks to do for like a 10-second shot or something like that. It was fucking horrible. I talked him into using blue screen for the next one.
Smart.
Yeah.
So, Cam, what do you do in your daily life that gives you enough time to fuck around with us all the time? Because you watch the content on top of obviously making these things for the content.
Yeah, it's I work as an assistant editor at a local production company, I guess. Gotcha. So it's easy for me to have you guys on in the background listening to things. In terms of working on stuff in the evenings, it's kind of hard to tell. I think the last, I don't know how many months, this year and a half of it has been during COVID. So I've had a lot of free time to work on stuff.
Yeah.
But before then, I guess it was really just, I would purposely knock out like 2 evenings, just schedule to like just work on things. But before then, really plan out. I would do really poorly drawn storyboards, get a quick edit, set the timing to the music, just of like how long each thing needs to be, maybe count how many frames I need to actually work on for everything. And then that makes it easier once they actually get working on it to know how to schedule my time out a little bit for it.
Well, you're fantastic. We love everything you do. Believe it or not, you have a question, because of course you can write in to be a part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like Madeline did. Madeline, aka Matt Exposure, writes in. It says, "Hi, Kind of Funny crew and Cameron. Hope you're all having a good day. Cameron, you have been making really awesome motion graphics for Kind of Funny for a while now, and they just keep getting better and better. Are there any ones that you made when you first started that you do differently with all you know now?"
I mean, literally all of them. I go back every so often just to try and to like think about that a little bit. Yeah. Actually, I have thumbnails of them here, so that's a little easier for me to go through. Ones like, I know James Bond, that one. There's little things I would do different for that just in terms of complexity, I think look a little too simple. There's ones like Mission Impossible where it's like, okay, I would have toned back and actually worked on maybe the artwork itself rather than the animation of the artwork.
Impossible was one where I'm like, I think you drew me as what's his butt?
The punch.
That was the cool. Ace Man. Yeah,
I will say that the lifelike movement of that, I'm not going to say contributed to the success of Mission Impossible Fallout, but it's possible that it had a little bit to do with people wanting to go see that movie. Just throw it out there.
when it came out, like
2 years before.
I mean, retrospectively, people watched it on
the video. DVD sales. Yeah, they got
huge Blu-ray sales in Germany. Don't, you know what, Greg? Don't you shake your head at me, okay?
I'm just listening, you know what? And fine, I'll take this moment to remind everybody, this is the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table. Each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, well, guess what, Jack and Jane? There's an easy way to do that. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in to be part of the show like Madeline did. You can get your name read like one of the Patreon producers. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every week. You could be watching live as we record it right now, like Lexi G, Mike L, and Arturo 182R. If you got no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, no big deal. You can catch the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe twice a week, every week, all for your viewing and listening pleasure.
How's it today? We learned that all we need to do is have Greg drink out of an alcohol flask shaped container, and it'll give him the juice. It'll give him that recoil.
Well, like, my heart hurts. Like, this Jittery Johns is taking years off my life, but it's making for me a better host. So let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't one of our official sponsors, but Jittery Johns, when you gotta go fast and die young, that's the coffee you should be drinking.
That's what I heard. That was their first test slogan, and someone was like, "This love the part, the first part." The dying fast part might not appeal to the parents who are buying this for their kids.
Die before your parents, everybody.
Kids are housekeeping for you. Monday, ladies and gentlemen, Kinda Funny's hosting the Marvel's Avengers War for Wakanda launch party starting at 10 a.m. Pacific over on twitch.tv/Crystal Dynamics. Me and Ms. Marvel herself, Sandra Saad, will be hosting 2 hours of gameplay, dev insight, and cast interviews. Yes. Black Panther himself, Christopher Judge, will be there, and you should too. Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/Crystal Dynamics. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Julian, the gluten-free gamer, and Steve Powers. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, Faraday, and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with our topic of the show. I've sent it to assets for everybody, but I will read the question that was submitted today from Kyle. Kyle wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. It says, "Hey guys, recently there was a survey asking Britons and Americans which animals they could beat in a fight unarmed. I would love to hear how far up the chart you could make it. For hypothetic reasons, let's say the fight is in a UFC octagon, but not a sanctioned event. Personally, I don't think I could beat a rat as I just run away the whole time. But if I had to, I could beat a goose. Thanks, Kyle." Kyle has submitted this. This has been making the rounds. I've seen it over the last 24 hours. We are looking off of Jody Ettenberg's tweet here, which was just, this chart is something else. It's from The Browser, and it reads like this. "Americans are more confident than Britons that they could beat any animal in a fight. Which of the following animals, if any, do you think you could beat in a fight if you were unarmed?" And this is the percentage based on 2082 Great British adults. And then it has it laid out here. So the first one on the chart is a rat. 72% of Americans surveyed said they could beat the rat. Britain's 67%. Of course, American bravado has us way higher than all of this.
Jesus,
who are these
fucking rat?
Yeah, who are these 28% of people that think that they're gonna lose?
This is my thing. Is I think even Kyle falls in this category. Scared of rats, maybe. Where he's like, for hypothetical. Oh no, well, I appreciate the hypothetical of telling us where we're fighting them. All right, but you know, what would you do? He would run away from the rat. This is life or death. One, two enter, one leave. All right, yeah. And that's how I'm presenting the question that they should have as well. You know what I mean?
So, I'm going to say it. Like, I saw Yusuf Begid was tweeting about this earlier, and, like, he was also calling out, like, why the hell are there so many people getting beat by rats? And, like, I want to say it at the end of the day, I would beat the rat, but I would not walk away unscarred. Like, there is a chance that the rat takes me down.
Does the rat know it's fighting you?
I mean, well, yeah, that's like any other animal. It's caged. You can't get out.
The caged rat will just sit there for a hot second. The octagon's a big thing. If it just sits there, I can walk up and stomp its little head. I've killed a lot of rats in my life.
Well, okay, but this rat, I assume you both have been told the rules of this fight. It's coming for you. I don't think it's like, I don't think
that was the question. That was my question, right? So that's what
the rat.
That's what I need to know. Like, do these animals know that A, do they know, and B, are they excited about or into the fact that they are fighting me? Like, do they,
are they thank you for the link, Greg. I was like, where is this damn link?
Yeah, Greg said he put it in there.
I'm sorry. It's that thing where I put it in and I hit enter and then I started talking and then it did not enter. It did not. Now you have it. My apologies. My apologies.
That's fair. Because I think if the rat, first off, if you, what does a rat beating you look like? This is my question. What is a rat beating
it's
you?
It's got to eat your jugular.
Like? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think it takes out your eyes and then you can't fight back and now it's slowly going to chip away. You can kill you.
Oh, so you should go for both your eyes. No. So you're going to let it eat your first eye. And by the time it's done eating your second eye, you're like, maybe I should stop this. But no, it goes over to the second eye, eats second eye. And then what? Crawls through your face.
You can like argue with me as much as you want. You can take out your anger on me. You need to talk to 28% of Americans. All right. They're the ones who are saying, like, I'm going to roll over and die. This rat's going straight through my belly button inside me.
No,
even more gross, though.
I don't even know if rats can do that, though. Honestly, I think you have to have a lot of rats to be able to take a human being down. I think if it's one, if you have a phobia of rats.
Sorry, hold on, Nick. I need to stop.
Why is Britain spelled like that?
Is that what we call them?
Bretons.
We're Americans spelled the way you'd think. They're calling themselves Bretons, B-R-I-T-O-N-S.
This is something, again, coming out of over there, Great Britain. I'm not sure how they say it, how they spell
look,
it.
Look. When this whole king and queen bullshit is done with, they're going to be called Brits with a Z at the end, okay? That's what we're doing from here on out. Enough of this, enough of the whole, like, royal family. No. No more of that. Once this generation is done, they're done for. I'm taking over. It's Brits with a Z. I'm sick. I'm just tired of them. I'm tired of them, man.
Kevin, can you bring this chart up for people if you have a second, if you're still around with us? You can't beat a rat or a house cat. We got to start getting you on some sort of regimen here. That's what
I'm
saying.
Don't get ahead of yourself. Yeah, we're house cat's next on the list. And yeah, 69% of Americans here believe they could beat the house cat. 66 of the Bretons think they could do it.
I'll die to allergies. I'll be honest with you.
I don't think you. I think you'll sneeze a little bit, and then you'll take it by its neck and cram it into the wall, and you'll realize for once in your life the fun of killing another live animal, Andy.
Eight other
chances. You and I go on the hunt up at Muir Woods. We start hunting for the fox, the elusive gray fox.
Wow, Tim, you make a great point about the nine lives here. Mm-hmm. Like, what's?
And also, you can't break a cat's neck. Have you seen a cat? There's some exorcist shit.
It's not about breaking. I mean, like, again, this is another one. Yeah, you're not getting out of it.
Wall.
You're not getting out unscarred. You're getting scratched up. You're getting bit real good. But again, like, usually when you see, like, the police officer get bit by the cat in the crotch, we've all seen this, you know, YouTube clip, right? It's that police officer does not want to kill that cat. Now you know you have to kill that cat. It's a different ball of wax. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, GameSpot's Lucy James. Hello, Lucy.
You don't need to do it. You don't need to be here.
It's almost midnight your time. You are, of course, over in merry old England, as they say.
Don't let him
I'm loop sick you into these things. I'm just
tired. Lucy, we're going over this chart here about, you know, could Americans or Britons kill this thing or whatever. And so have you seen this going around on the social medias?
I have.
Okay, yeah. Great. What we want from you is not obviously to justify why your country's so scared of all these animals and we're not scared
of. Why are you just country so scared of rats? It's weird.
It's more of
plague, Nick.
We have New York rats the size of cougars. New York sewer rats are the size of small cougars, and we are not scared of these things.
Yeah, but we were decimated by the plague.
So that was a real thing.
That is slammed into us from into your minds from when you're younger. Like, you learn about that in history and you learn about World War II.
Lucy, listen, I'm going to say.
For us, it was Nazis and 9/11. And I guess for y'all, it's the plague and Nazis.
How fucking old are you? What do you mean? Nazis and 9/11? How old were you when 9/11 happened? Who's teaching you this?
I just, you know, it's just something to worry about.
All right, sure. Fair
enough. It was.
So, quick question. In this situation, is it that, like, you're in an octagon, right? You're in the octagon. Yeah. And then there's just a rat.
Yeah. Yes, Kevin.
There's just a rat. And someone's just standing on the top of the octagon with a gun and be like, kill it or die.
It was the rules were explained to both you and the rat. So
this is like But the rat doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell a rat, like, Kevin, hey, we got to fight to the death. I think we need a guy on the metal thing. I think 28% of Americans don't have the balls to kill a rat.
I'll smash
Lucy, right? What do you got? Lucy's trying to get off the bench. What do you got, Lucy?
Well, no, have you not seen that thing? Like, I know it was in Game of Thrones, but, like, I swear I've heard about it. It was also in Fast and Furious 2. Hello, bringing it to the group. The guy with the rat in the bucket.
Yeah.
And the stomach thing.
Yeah,
so,
but that guy like, was tied down to a table. Yeah, that,
right. He was tied down to the table.
He didn't have use of his mandibles, his hands, his, right. these the opposable thumbs. He like, just grabbed the rat and smash it.
Lucy, if they tied the bucket to his face, I think he could have easily eaten the rat and like broke it, you know, killed it in half.
Yeah.
Just cut it in half. Good bite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a rat is not going to beat any of us in a fight.
No.
It's more of a situation people don't have the stomach to.
But what about loads of rats? Is there
like different.
That's a different question. As we've seen, not even Starro could survive.
Right. That. Spoilers.
Greg, what is your question for Lucy? Because I need to fucking hear the answer to this.
Lucy, the only reason we brought you in here before anyone will let you go to bed is, do you really call yourselves Britons? Britons?
Like
you better say
embarrassed.
No. You better
like Americans are. It's the headline is Americans are more confident than Britons that they could beat any animal in a fight.
I would just call us like the British.
Yes,
right.
Thank you.
Britons sounds a bit Tory, if you ask me.
But do they say it though? The Tory people.
Maybe.
Lucy, do you like Tory people?
Lucy, no. Did you ever figure out what the Magna Carta was?
Shut up.
Lucy, do you feel like your accent has only gotten stronger since you've been back?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because I feel like it has.
This isn't even my final form. You're hearing my
third evolution?
Received pronunciation British accent. I'm currently up in the Northeast with my parents, and my real accent is off the charts.
Oh, I want to hear the real accent. I think it's cool.
I want to hear it too.
It's just a mispronunciation of every single vowel.
I love it.
It sounds like really weird.
It's like you speak one in the morning for her.
Cool. Yeah, we should let her go back to sleep.
The problem is, lads, since I've been back, I've gotten really into The Sopranos. So every night I end my evening with like one or two episodes, and I was just about to boot up season two. So Sopranos hour.
I thought you were gonna say every night I end with The Sopranos, so I'm picking up a New Jersey Italian accent in addition to the English accent that you've got.
Retard accent.
Yeah. A gabagool.
Sometimes, yeah, I will ask for a baked ziti. I don't know what a ziti is, but from the sounds of it, the show, it's the greatest thing in the world.
I think it's zucchini, right?
No, baked ziti.
Shut up, Kevin.
It was a joke, guys. How dare you?
Baked ziti is the bomb. What is it? Like if you take like a penne pasta, or what my mom used to call it, mostaccioli, and you put it in like a lasagna pan, and you put that together, and it's just a baked thing of pasta that you slice. Like lasagna style slices off with cheese and like sauce and like all the, you know, the gravy and like meat on there. I think that's what a baked ziti is. We never made it because we used to just get like, we used to just eat pasta like that. But yeah, that's what that looks like right now.
Yeah, we used to do baked mostaccioli.
Yes. Look at that thing. Andy, tell me you don't want that right to your face. Just throw it at me. I'll eat it all.
Amazing.
You got those meatballs in that bad boy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Holy cow. I mean, speaking of, you know, the top of the Italian culinary areas, I've been eating a lot of Peter Pyra pizza. Delicious.
As an Italian.
Extra toasty.
I don't know that I would count Peter Piper pizza, the pizza people eat, as the top of the Italian culinary chain. I don't know if that's the top level of Italian.
Yeah, Nick, you've been to Italy, right? They don't really get pizza. You know what I mean?
So I'll be honest with you, if we're just in the circle of trust with Lucy here for a second.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for the food in Italy when I went.
No, you're dumb. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
Did you
go to like a very touristy area or something?
No, his mom was cooking the entire time.
No, I mean, the last time I was there, I was there on a PR trip, and the food was fine, but it was... It was like we were in Florence and I asked for bread and the bread was terrible. And then some of the pasta, it didn't blow me away.
This is crazy.
Wow. I know. And I think it's one of those things where you go like, it's the difference between the food you grew up with versus the food where it comes from, right? So like the Italian food I grew up with, very distinctly different. Because the Italian food I grew up with was like my mom's like Chicago style Italian food, which she grew up in Chicago.
Meat on your ribs, you know?
Yeah, everything is like way more flavorful and way more abundant than you think. When you actually go to Italy, they actually do a lot of the traditional like like appetizers, first plate, second plate, and like a dessert plate. There'll be like a cheese plate after the meal's over, which I'm like, I don't understand any of this shit. This is bonkers to me. Just where's the pasta that's so – the big bowl of pasta that I'm drowning myself in that I feel as a child with the Catholic guilt and my mother's guilt that I need to eat this whole thing even though I know
it's contributing to being overweight. You just want buco de mezzo. You want that experience.
That's what the Italian experience was for me growing up. It was overwhelming and anxiety-inducing.
I feel like every Roman – eatery that I went to, just plenty of pasta. I think you were just ordering the wrong stuff.
Maybe, man. I don't know. Yeah. Someone gave me a steak. Yeah. I was like, did I come to Italy to get a fucking steak? Am I eating steak in Italy?
I ate some
steak. They don't have cows here.
Lamb. Maybe they do. I don't know. A lot of lamb.
Yeah, it's a lot of lamb. We got cows in England, though. I've seen them.
Sure.
Lucy, go enjoy The Sopranos. Thank you for your help.
Gabagool.
Thanks.
Gabagool.
Lucy, give me a gabagool. Give me a gabagool. Bye,
guys. Miss you.
Miss you too.
Bye. Bye.
All right, can we go back to the fact that Kevin's plan is to bite the rat to death?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're immobilized and only have, like, if they attach to your face, so you can't even move.
They used to put rats in bags and tie them to your face, is what Kevin said.
The rat's going to come to your face. You can bite him in half.
Bite him in half.
Like, how did the rat get to your face?
The man with the bucket tied it to your face.
Torture. Oh, okay. That was,
yeah.
From Fast
The Flaming
too, yeah.
Bucket.
No, what movie was this? This was in a movie.
It's a couple different things.
Lucy said it. Lucy was like, it was in Game of Thrones.
Stop. There was a movie that you're referencing that you don't even know you're referencing where they put rats in a bag and tie the bag around the guy's head and he eats one. He kills the rats with his face.
You're fine. You're making shit up.
I swear to God, that's a movie.
No one's crazy enough to put that in
Chad,
the movie.
I need you right now.
You hear this goofy bastard?
I like how Cam's got like wonderful noir and a lighting on him where it's like
I'm Googling movie
Batman. Oh, a little backlight.
Movie Man Bag Rat is what I Googled.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you Google? Why would those people?
He nailed it though. He's gonna get the answer.
He knows how to get SEO.
Is it the Willard? Is it Willard?
No, it's not Willard. That movie is
because I typed. Yeah, when you type Movie Man Bag Rat, Willard pops up.
Yeah, because he walks around with a bat with a bag with movie. A bad rat. I think
bag of rat.
And he smells hair.
Yeah, that's a different movie, Tim.
He drops him and he goes, "Oh, rats."
Wilford Brimley.
I love you, Andy. I missed you too much.
Hold on.
Can we go back? I wanted to shout out Kevin eating the rats to death, but I also want to go back to this starting and Nick being like, I've killed a ton of rats. Have you killed a rat? Like you versus rat, not with
you
a rat trapper?
No, never with my, I've never gone rat. Like I've never been like, today is the day that I'm going to pop my cherry with killing a fucking animal. But I've set up traps that have contributed to rats dying multiple times in my old apartment. We had a rat infestation. Like I've told the story and I had to be the one that would go put the trap out. And then we'd hear that I was the rat catcher. I was rat catcher number one.
Negative one, zero. Yeah.
It's horrifying, but I think I can get it done. I really do.
Okay.
I might be thinking Missing in Action 2, which I don't, Kevin, I don't expect you to know this.
I definitely didn't watch Missing in Action.
Oh, it is. This is the movie. Can I show the scene?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't watch the first one either.
Wait, hold on. Maybe it's not. Hold on. I gotta find it. Yes, this is it. It's fucked up. They tie they hoist the guy up upside down, put a rag in a bag, and then tie it around his face. It's fucked up.
Yeah, but like so that's easy. Like
but then Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris fucking because he's American and badass, eats the rat. He kills the rat. They're like, fuck, we can't kill him this
way. It would be cool if Chuck Norris like did one of those hanging upside down crunches and killed the rat with his abs.
Did you guys see that news story that Harley Quinn did, like Margot Robbie actually did the toe thing with the thing?
Yeah, that's awesome.
What toe thing?
With the from Suicide Squad. You remember how she gets the keys off that the guy's belt and then like brings her legs up? She actually did all that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You guys see the Major Selva's knuckles? God bless the world. God. Nothing could be better.
Wait, what is that?
Let's get back to this.
Are we watching the video of this guy Chuck Norris eating the rat?
No.
Or is that
Nick's already forgotten? He's probably
he sent it to assets or whatever.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that the highest that I can go.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, we gotta watch this guy eat a rat.
On AMC, where is this? Nick. Can I get a time code or?
Well, you're right there. Okay, so here's what they're going to do, right? They're going to be like, we're going to fucking put. Now, this is the part where they put the bat. There's a rat. There's the rat right there. Eek, eek. That's what it's doing.
Thank you. Yes, I do definitely need the music for
you. They're
poking it with a stick just to get it mad.
You got to piss off the rat if you want to.
Then they're
going to
pour it in the bag. This is where they pour in the bag. And then they're going to put it on the dude's face. Now a lot of
this guy's got to check.
Gotta get a better look at this.
Yeah, this guy's like, oh shit, what's gonna happen? And this is like the rat's gonna. Yeah, it's terrifying, right? This is what I grew up on. My mom was like, "This looks like a fun movie you should watch when you're fucking four."
I would just spin my head so fast at the speed and inertia of it. Kept it against the other
push
side.
Push the
of
rat all the way to the side. Yeah.
Nah, you'll get dizzy and vomit. Ooh, that first, you're the rat. You got vomit and rat.
I just love everyone's reactions as it goes around. Like, some people look like they're about to cry. Some people are just
did
like,
he kill that man? Up.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Oh, shit. That would have killed him.
I expected this to end differently. I thought he.
Hold on. Wait for it.
Oh, spoiler. It's the rat's blood.
Oh, boy.
Fuck you. Fuck you all.
Damn. Damn,
who knew the scenario I was talking about was in a movie? That's crazy.
Kevin, I'll tell you guys. Thank you. We're on a good place right now. We're at a good place.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually did pay off really well.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, so next on the list is a house cat, which I already talked about, but 6966.
I will say, my house cat, I have one right here.
Yeah, let's
see. He has a vertical. Oh, look, he's waking up a little bit. I was talking about him. He has a vertical of 5'8".
Okay.
I think it's the highest I've seen him jump. Okay, so he can get you in the
face. Not tall enough for me.
Yeah, he's coming eye to eye.
But is he going to kill you?
He jumped up and grabbed something. I don't think he'll kill you, but...
He's going right over Nick.
I'm getting hurt. I'm getting clawed. It's getting infected. I'm aware. Wow. But I think I'm going to move.
It was good. Yeah, it's more so just...
Greg, let me see it. Let me see the high kick, Greg.
Oh, thank you. Now, am I with my running one or just a standing kick?
I want whatever you would think. Here's the scenario. You're in an octagon. A cat is jumping at your face. What do you do? I want a crane kick, 5'8". No,
he's going to rip the headphones out and break the mic.
I wouldn't kick in that scenario.
What are you going to do?
I'm grabbing.
Yeah, you grab me, you smash it against the ground. Fight's over.
I'm talking, how do you make the ESPN highlight reel? I think the crane kick. Yeah, you
can. I mean, I just fucking kill it. Are you kidding me? But again, like, it's back to inertia, right? Where in a lot of ways, honestly, I want that cop video of the cat climbing up. Because when it gets here, I'm like, you've made a tactical error, my friend, right? Grab it, and then it's just full on.
Power bomb.
It's a one down, one up.
Yeah,
one down. One up, yeah. You know what I mean? Just over and over again until
you want to smash that pillow cabin until the feathers come out the other side.
Yeah, that's you're gonna get a lot of feathers coming out.
That sidewalk is just gonna be full of DNA. Dude.
I want to hear like a bag of chips pop. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I take no pleasure in this.
No,
you know what I mean. That word is right here. This is
you might be enjoying it a little bit.
YouGov has hit us up here and said, "Could you do it? And what's your move?" And that's my move.
That's the move.
I find it fascinating that next up is Goose. And Goose, it drops again. 61% Americans think they could beat it. Only 45% think they could do it. Goose is, don't get me wrong, they hiss and they bite and they pinch and it hurts, but like...
But a good kick will get rid of any goose.
And that's another one where I'm getting it and I am just woo, woo, woo.
Two things I want to bring up here, though. First off, I think we need to choose, like... We're wearing clothing... But like, are we like, what is the clothing we're wearing?
Not me, dude. I'm going George St. Pierre, tidy little whitey, greased the fuck up. These things are not getting a hand on me. They're not getting a hand on me.
Greased right up.
The other thing is, I have an article here from, I think 2 years ago. There was a place just in my city. Woman 87 broke pelvis after being knocked to ground, pecked by Selvin's pond geese. There was a woman that was sent to the hospital because of geese recently. So
here's the thing.
The gravity did most of the work on that.
So yeah, exactly. Nick's going to be at
the
risk,
woman
but
was
not
allowed.
Us.
Right. If the woman felt like she needed to, like, had she known.
The woman was in an octagon.
I'm sure she would have killed the goose.
Also, like, was she greased up? That's the big question.
Yeah. You got to be greased up.
See, because I feel like Critical you guys don't understand. When they go into the octagon, I know you guys don't watch sports. When they go into the octagon, they grease up your face so that you don't get the burn. That's the grease I want all over me. I want that like Vaseline all over my body.
Yeah.
So when the goose comes in to peck, the grease deflects it, and I put it into a rear naked choke or a front naked choke if I can.
I thought Cameron Kennedy was going to say, I'm reading an article right here, geese, the number one cause of human deaths last year.
In America. Not COVID.
A goose can fuck you up. Like they got some power, but I feel like I'm with Greg in the sense that like if you can grab it by the head and it has a lot of
the
shit
neck.
You can grab.
It's neck, bro.
They have talons and they have thick beaks.
They do not have talons. They have webbed toes. Those aren't talons.
They've got something on the end, don't they?
What all? Scratchers.
My what guy I will got say, attacked by a goose when I was young.
Cam, you fit very well in with my level of this podcast. They got something on the end there somewhere.
What I will say about the goose is that I think a lot of it is just more intimidation.
God. What is that?
I think it's intimidation.
Yeah, 100%.
What is that? It's terrifying.
They make lots of noises and the wings are going all over the place. And it's just to scare you and make you think that something else is coming. But really, you cannot be tactical.
Tactful.
What I'm looking for. You can't try to like land a precision punch on the stupid ass little head. You got to just use your body and mass to overpower and overwhelm and snap its neck, dude. That's all it takes, dude.
But Tim, so here's the thing.
Throw the body on a grill, a little barbecue.
You go to Lake, you know, whatever, like Mountain Lake Park, and there's geese all over the place, and they start running at you, and you're like, oh shit, what do I do? It wouldn't be socially accepted for you to punt the fuck out of it. You know what I mean? Because, like, guess what? If it's running at you and you just punt the fuck out of it, suddenly you launch it into the bad guy. So that's the thing. Bro. We've just been socially conditioned to not murder these animals.
Let's keep going down this list. That's what I like about this situation is that, you know, for my entire life, it's been that thing of, well, I don't want to hurt this animal. I don't want to do this thing. It doesn't know what it's doing. As Cameron laid out in the beginning, we walk into the octagon, they shut the gate, and I look at this thing and I'm like, you've been told in your native tongue that it's you versus me. You know what I mean?
Is that what it was?
That's a great goose impression. That's a great goose.
And it's like, kill him, wipe him out.
That's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. Believe it or not, there's still many more animals to go as we go through Kyle's question that was submitted on patreon.com. Remember, on patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you can go to be part of the show, where you can go to get the post show, where you can go to watch us record the show live, and of course, you can go to get the show ad free. Right. And speaking of ads, let me tell you about... No, dang it. Let somebody else tell you about the sponsors.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. You know how when you're in a nerve-wracking situation and people say, imagine everyone in their underwear to make yourself feel comfortable. As if imagining a room full of strangers down to their skivvies is what makes us feel comfy. MeUndies believes comfort does not start with imagining, but instead it starts with actual comfort. MeUndies designs limited edition prints all the time so you can express yourself every single day. Building your undie collection and picking out which lucky pair gets to meet your butt for the day has never been so fun. Choose prints with corgis, chicken nuggets, your zodiac sign, goofy puns, and more. MeUndies also releases collabs with some pretty big names like the Rolling Stones and Space Jam, A New Legacy. But you have to grab them fast because once they're gone for good. Kinda Funny loves MeUndies. You've heard the boys talk about them for years. They're comfort with good designs that make your friends jealous. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. We're also brought to you by Faherty Brand. Can it be? It's finally summer, and we're actually going to have a real summer this year. So naturally, we've started thinking about looking good after a year and some change, because we're going places. This summer is what Kinda Funny is calling Hot Boy Summer. You saw the jean jacket, you see the haircut, we're doing it big this summer. And that's where Faherty comes in. They make the perfect clothes for the summer. Tim Geddes is the most stylish person I know, and he even loves Faherty Brand clothing. And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faherty is giving our listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off. So stock up on all of your clothes for summer now. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code MORNING at checkout to snag 20% off all your summer gear. That's code MORNING at Faherty. That is Faherty brand.com for 20% off. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Upstart. If you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt. Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your credit card debt with a personal loan all online. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/KFMB. That is upstart.com/KFMB. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/KFMB.
That's right there, Nick. That is all intimidation, dude.
Yeah,
they're running away.
They're flapping their wings.
They're running away.
I told the story before, but I need it said. When I was little, I was attacked by a goose. And I was very small boy.
And he was a bully. You probably the goose. Then
the goose grab
its neck, grab its stupid neck, and start squeezing. And then you look into its eyes and say, "You know what you did."
My dad had to save me, and it was just like this. It bit him in the ass. It ripped his jeans, and his ass was scarred till the day he died from this fucking goose.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, we can take down this goddamn goose. I am surprised that the goose is where it is, so close to the eagle. On this list.
Tim, I am surprised that the goose I'm surprised that the Britons have had such a gigantic drop off of from 66% being comfortable of killing a house cat to 45%.
Yeah.
That is a gigantic drop off from the Brits, and I am just extremely disappointed. Like, again, cool. You might get a scratch on your butt, your little booty. You might get a little scratch from a little stupid ass tooth that they have. I don't give a shit, dude. When it's like grabbing that lady on her, you overpower, you overwhelm. These things are not strong. It's dead, dude. Dead. Easy.
All right, Andy, then the question becomes next.
The goose is up two hearts, Andy.
But if you heard one of them, trust me, the goose isn't like, that was my decoy. Like, he's still like, out of my heart. Like, you know what I mean?
I got two fists in.
Decoy.
Andy, medium-sized dog. Could you beat a medium-sized dog? Life or
what's
death
a,
in the octagon?
Give me a breed. What's a medium-sized dog?
Great question.
I'd say like a
Boston Terrier.
No, bigger than that.
That's I'd say small. Like a dog that's the size of a corgi, probably, but not with the small legs. You know, like
a mutt is what I think of it.
I think technically Cecil might be a medium-sized dog.
No, Cecil's a fucking full ass.
No, yeah, Cecil is probably a medium. You feel like a large dog is like a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
Cecil's 60 pounds.
Yeah, I think that's the end. I think it's 45 to 60 pounds for a medium-sized dog. Like I'm being totally honest here.
That sounds right to me. There's many dogs larger.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm looking at a medium-sized dog.
At that point, I call them – at that point, they're wolves to me. If you're bigger
medium
than –
medium dogs weigh between 20 and 60 pounds. Their height ranges between 8 inches and 24 inches.
Andy, you don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about wolves. We'll get to it when we get to wolves.
What's a large Kevin, dog? No. Kevin, don't you fucking try me with wolves,
I mean, above
Kevin.
60 pounds, right?
Are you going to fucking challenge my knowledge on wolves?
It seems like it.
Dog. Is that to be 61 pounds?
61 pounds.
Andy and Kevin are getting into it.
Go away, Cecil, right now. Put him on the scale. Put yourself on the scale. Put Tim on the scale. Put everyone on the scale.
I think you got me. You got me. So
that dog, see, I don't think – I'm going to be honest right here. I don't think I could beat Cecil. I think Cecil – maybe. That would be the one where I would say – I'll say yes – but if it gets much bigger than Cecil, I might have a problem with that dog. Like a big German Shepherd, those things can fuck you up.
I mean, sure.
For sure.
You know, like an 80-pound German Shepherd coming at you with those teeth. They just latch on. You're like, well, that arm's gone.
But that's
now
a large-sized dog. You're talking about a large-sized dog. Let's stick with the medium size.
All right. So I'll
like
say
a
yes.
Border collie, a healthy-looking border collie. You think you could just pop it in the face?
Wait, which one's the border collie?
Lassie.
Oh, I'm fucking up Lassie.
That's not Lassie. Lassie's a different type of dog.
Nah, Lassie's getting
the fucking
ass
confidence
kicked.
From Nick.
Oh, no.
Kick the shit out of Lassie.
No,
somebody
I mean,
please
I,
animate that.
You know why, Tim? Because I go by in media and in real life, what do they use these dogs for? Lassie, they use them. You get stuck in a well, you tell fucking Lassie to go get you out of the well, right?
Exactly.
German Shepherds sniff out cocaine at airports and fucking maul people. That's what they're for, right?
They're on coke.
Rottweilers maul people. Pitbulls maul people. This thing, that's your best friend right there, but it's going to go, hey, maybe we don't have to fight. Fucking hit it right
Tim,
in the face.
Or no, Nick, the thing about border collies, they're one of the smartest breeds. So like they'll know, you know, like they're going to feel fear.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to know I'm coming after him, but what's he going to do? I'm going to get his back. We're going to cut a little bit. Maybe go out, you know, hang out for a little bit. I'm going to snap his fucking neck.
I'll say this.
Border collies,
kind of worried.
Two hearts.
Gotta be careful. Again?
Decoy heart.
Just one.
That second heart's in there. Just so everyone knows, Goose do not have two hearts.
It's amazing. I'm kind of worried about the medium dog. And when I look...
But really?
The problem with the medium dog, I feel, is it's the spinning carousel of which medium dog is going to come out. There are certain ones that we just looked at where I'm like, yeah. And second ones, I'm like, ah, fuck, well...
You have, like, Greg, on this list, they have to be breeds. You have to say, is it going to be Lassie or a fucking pit bull?
Right.
You know, like... And I think the thing that I worry about, is the blood loss, are the wounds. Yeah. Because once those fuckers are on, like, I think of my friend, I'm looking right here at a list of medium dogs. A boxer is a medium dog.
No, that's
my friend had a boxer, and those motherfuckers are so strong, and they run up because they're super excited, and like they knock into you, and you're kind of like pushed back from their sheer force. So, like, again, we need to be more specific here with this list. I'm not very happy with it.
I think for a medium size, I think for all of these animals, we have to assume they're at their peak. Right?
So like, we are not at our peak.
Of strength?
Okay, yeah, yeah. I don't mean peak condition, but like size. If we're going to say, yes, we can beat a medium-sized dog, then I think we're definitively saying we can beat range of medium-sized dogs.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I think that's a good, for the sake of argument for the rest of the time, we're not taking, if when we get to grizzly bear, we're not talking about a bear that's on its last leg. We're talking about someone picked this bear. It is a fucking prime of its life. Maybe a mama bear, there's some cubs behind it, and we got to take this thing on. Will fuck me up, I swear.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list, and it's like, I'm looking at these lists. Here's a bulldog, which is that, you know, a little fucking pudgy ass bulldog, and then a Samoyed, which a Samoyed is like the closest you can get to a wolf without being a wolf in terms of like size and shit.
They're very light.
I want to see
Samoyeds are surprisingly light.
They're super cute and stuff, but like if you ever see, you know what? I'm thinking of Akita. I'm thinking Japanese Akita.
Yeah, Akita is a much bigger dog. Hold on, let me pull up the Samoyed. For Nick,
Samoyeds are the best. Nick, cutest dog I will say, adult or child.
Oh, that's a cute dog.
Look at these dogs.
That is a cute dog.
Do you see the baby?
Yeah, the baby's real cute.
It's so fluffy.
It's like a fluffy Cecil or a giant moose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What was the other? Tim,
you are muted.
It looks like Charmeleon and Charizard versions of moose.
It does.
That's wild. You should get two of these, like all three of them, Tim, and Billy, and
have it. Up it up one more level here, eagle. 13% of American, or 13 Britons and 23 Americans.
I don't understand how it goes from medium-sized dog to eagle. Like, look at this. Look at what's going on down here.
The eagle's going to, you're going to get, it's going to be
tough. My God.
Well, there's a drop-off, though, Kev.
But, what?
Like, look at the chart. Like, the jump from the medium-sized dog to the eagle is a large gap of people saying they could fight it. So it's like, that makes sense to me, where it's like the rat and the house cat are in their own section, goose and the medium dog are in their own. And then from eagle on, y'all are crazy if you're taking these things down.
Yeah, because after eagle, large dog, which we've already been kind of going back and forth with, for that, it's 23% of Americans, 13% of Britons think they can beat it. And then chimpanzee.
No,
17% of Americans think they can do it, which are just fucking lying to themselves. And 10% of Britons think they can do it. They're probably lying to themselves too. Chimpanzees, I ain't fucking with that, man. That's when it gets crazy.
Somebody thought they could beat an elephant.
I'll keep going. I'm just going to read it off the list, right?
In a fucking octagon.
In the octagon, king cobra, 15%. Everybody, clear comms. King cobra, 15% of Americans say they could beat it. 7% think they could do it in Britain. Kangaroo, 14% of Americans to 5% of Britons. Wolf, 12% of Americans to 4% of the English. Crocodile, 9% of Americans to 3% of Britons. Gorilla, 8% of Americans to 2% of Britons. Lion, 8-2. Elephant 8-2, grizzly bear 6-2.
Do anyone here,
these last numbers?
Does anyone here think that they could take on an eagle or above on this list?
No.
Absolutely. I want to say, I believe that I can take on a large dog. I've had a lot over the last year of experience with dogs at the dog parks getting into fights and having to break it up. Including 120-pound, what is it, the Corso? It's a giant fucking dog. But, like...
Please bring up whatever the hell that is.
Yeah,
I need to see what Kevin's taken down in the streets. It's not taken down. Not even in an octagon.
They get into fights, and you have to pull them apart, or else... Why am I asking you don't have to pull them apart? But it gets really dangerous.
But the deciding factor is two things here that... Not to disagree with you here, Kev. Two things that are working against you here, though. One, they have leashes. right? They have collars that you can grab a hold of and pull them away. Yeah, they don't have that in the octagon. And two, there's no other dog. They're coming straight for your, like, right for the midsection.
But I'm telling you, like, I've had to move them around when they're upset.
What are you grabbing? What are you using? What's your main?
If you grab the flesh of their neck, they do not like that. And that's what I would do.
Okay,
Kevin, you know what? I think Kevin might be a little bit right here, and I'm about to say this. I think a lot of us could take on a large dog. We will not be very healthy afterwards. I'll say that. Sure. Because you kind of have to sacrifice one of your arms.
You're going.
It's going to run and jump for your arm or your leg or whatever. And when it is in that position, that is because it gets so focused and dead set on it. And when it's grasping onto your forearm or your ankle, that's where you kind of, that's where I think it's the most vulnerable, where you go for the eyes or you go for the throat with your other arm. And it is on the ground, and you're just like pushing this motherfucker down, and you could bite all you want, and my leg's probably gonna be fucked up. I'm probably gonna have to get this shit cut off later, but like you won't be breathing when I'm pushing down on your neck. That's all I'm saying, dude.
What do you think?
Kev? Sorry? Just when he said the eyes, I was picturing it very graphically, and you get to the eyes part. And I was
you go for the eyes, you go for the throat, you got to stop it from breathing. It's going to panic and stop biting or whatever. You're going to be fucked up. Don't get me wrong. You're going to be changed for life.
I always go back to The Dark Knight, though. Like, he struggled with dogs in that movie.
Yeah.
He fought other humans fine, but dogs seemed to be what he struggled with the most in that movie.
Well, when he was training with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he never trained against that particular breed of dog.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what they're called.
So I have a question for you guys, and you know, I am the least educated among us for sure. If I had to choose one above the medium-sized dog, because I feel like if I had to, I probably could have a chance to beat that thing. But eagle and above, I'm worried. If I had to choose which one of these to fight, I feel like I might go King Cobra over the large dog. Is that a stupid call?
I think so. If you had like a stick, you might be in a better place. But like you got to get behind it and try to step on his head.
Yeah, you got to catch
and
his head.
Squeeze the head and break it. You know what I mean? That's the only move.
The thing is, the thing with the snakes, from what I've gleaned from following people on Instagram, is that they always have the curved stick where they can use like move it around. So you keep your distance so they're not in straight.
Yeah, you need 3 foot stick for sure.
Once you have the snake, you can hold it. Apparently, sometimes I guess you can hold it by the tail, but I don't think that's smart. Most of the time, they hold it by the back of the scruff.
Oh,
so
it
can't. Like you can hold it like this, so its mouth is this way, and you go, now I've got you. And you can just do whatever you want.
Now I've got you.
Right?
I have watched many
fast to be able to grab
I have watched many a snake videos. And again, they are my biggest fear, but that's what motivates me. Which is why I am Snake Man. And when you have, it's always the distraction with one arm. It's the distraction with one arm. And you're showing it one arm, and it's like looking at your left hand, and it's like trying to strike, and you're doing this, and you're wrapping around with your right arm, bam, back of the fucking head. You never, like, the amount of mistakes and issues that people have when they grab the tail, you're done for. And
strike hard, strike fast.
Exactly. No mercy, no mercy. Tim, no mercy. And the problem with the Cobra is, like, again, it's a one shot, one kill. If it's hitting you one shot, or you're getting hit in one shot with the head.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest part. Now, can you probably kill it before the poison slowly eats away at your insides? You probably can, but you'll be dead an hour later.
You have to assume that there's a guy waiting there with like anti-venom. Venom. Right?
The scary thing though is if it hits you and it is fast acting, are you alive when it swallows you whole?
It won't swallow you.
I mean, that's Kevin,
how Cobra does.
Kevin, I think the thing that you're bringing up about an anti-venom thing, I think that's cheating. I don't think that's allowed.
Post fight.
You've killed
Once you've killed it.
I don't think that's allowed because
you bit them, they got anti-human bites.
But if that's the case, then any of us can kill a King Cobra.
Because this animal is designed to kill slowly. Like, that's how it does it in the wild, right? If it gets its venom in there, it takes time. So, like,
venom.
Well, again, don't blame Kevin for the how poorly this thing's designed. It's not his fault.
God, that's not Kevin.
I don't think there is a man sitting outside with a little truck saying like, "Got you, brother. Whenever you need me, whatever you need me, I'm over here. I got the little anti-venom."
But there's definitely a medic.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Andy. Like, if in my mind, this is like if you're fighting in an octagon, there's an audience. If there's an audience, there's a medic.
There's a medic.
You know? Yeah. Well, I mean? Then,
but also 100 fights to the death. The well, rules then are out the window. You're right.
100% of people should say that they can kill a king cobra then, because its venom is not going to take you down before you can grab it by the head. Like, mm-hmm. it can bite you all you that. Want. You're not going to die of flesh wounds. You're going to die of the venom.
But Andy,
no, they don't constrict like that, dude. No,
but no, no, but people panic. They get bitten. They panic. All the blood starts rushing around.
Yeah,
suddenly claws. Kicks him.
Here's the thing, though.
You ever seen with rattlesnake?
I'm injecting myself with adrenaline in the neck before I go in there, Kevin. Just a big old fucking shot.
That's the opposite of what you want to do. You want to take some CBD and relax a little bit. Maybe do a little meditation before you go fight this
fucking
thing.
Slow down your heart rate.
You want your heart rate to be like one beat per minute.
I feel like this list is there's two that are very much out of order. Yeah. Like the eagle. I think that should be under the large dog because that scares me. Because he's gonna be coming down unless he's not flying. Can we get the eagle?
No, it
not
can
fly.
The eagle can fly. If the eagle can't fly, you're like, well, this is going to be easier.
Yeah,
I mean, he's in the octagon.
It's like fighting a big chicken. I mean, there's no roof to the octagon. It can fly up to the rafters, hang out there for a second. Where
Jesus
are you down?
Jesus Christ, what a nightmare.
Where are you down?
I just can't believe that there's someone that's like, yeah, I'd beat an elephant in a fight.
Well, here's where it gets.
Those are shitters. Those are shitters.
Good fucking luck is here's where it gets hand-to-hand combat. The kangaroo for me. Have you seen the image of how jacked kangaroos are?
I'll pull it up.
Have you seen the video of the guy punched the kangaroo in the face?
Great video.
You're dead. This thing's
I don't know,
but like we're not that guy.
No, why aren't hippos? Why aren't hippos on the list? They kill hippos kill more humans.
I
want to
see that video.
Hippos kill more humans.
Hippos kill most humans of all these animals.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. The dog's getting fucked up. Imagine if it's Porty over there fighting the kangaroo.
They kind of look like they're playing though.
Well, they're tired and winded and don't understand why he's screaming. Also, looking nice. You want to go on the fucker? He's like, yeah. Look at him square up.
Oh my god.
Fuck you, Tomo News.
Oh man, and then you won't believe what happened next. His safari was, or no, his walkabout was ruined.
Was he banging the dog?
CG.
What was he hit the dog's ass? What the fuck is this?
They reenacted it.
Man, they really went. They went above and beyond trying to make this a thing.
Get this video looks way clearer than any of the other versions I ever saw of it.
Well, maybe take a knife out.
Tomo paid for the exclusive rights.
So he's got a giant knife. Oh my god, yeah. This is great. This is like one of those Korean.
So what they mentioned was apparently the kangaroo would like with its big ass talons on its leg on its feet. It was going for the throat right here.
Yeah. Well, the dog you see his neck's already screwed up.
Yeah, he's gonna kick him. He's gonna kick his throat.
I'm fucking kidding.
Yeah, boom, bitch.
Oh, damn, fuck.
And the kangaroo's just like, fuck
you. I didn't know it was going to be like that, bro.
You know what? Game respect game, dog.
There it is.
It's just, I think it's mostly confusion right there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it works.
Wow.
That's not what I'm talking about, right? Kevin, you know the picture I'm talking about of the kangaroo.
But you said you wanted to see the video, remember?
I did. That's perfect. And this is perfect. But Kevin, you and I both know who we're fighting. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
Yes. Give me one second.
Thank you. That's
the
one.
Flexing.
The fucking, it looks like Chris Hemsworth from Thor Love and Thunder. That's who you're fighting right now.
As of January 2021, hippos kill nearly twice as many humans as lions do a year.
Yeah.
500 people a year.
I don't think people like are afraid of
they don't respect
the way. Yeah, the way that you should. Because the hippo right now can kill any animal it wants.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big ass animal.
Yeah, hold on.
I keep looking
hippo
at this
can kill
chart,
an elephant,
and I keep reading it. Kev, can you bring up the chart again?
Give me one second.
Look at this.
That's what we're talking about right there.
Yeah, that's scary.
Greg, you're squaring off against this thing, and it said, "What'd you say? What the fuck did you just say to me?"
Nothing, man. Sorry, I was talking.
He
I was
says
talking
it with
about
an Australian accent too.
Hey, what saying, mate?
What, mate?
I want
an apology, and you walk away. You know.
Yep.
Wait, no, that's wolf comparison.
Hold on, I want to try to find the one that
I keep reading this as 2,082 gigabytes of adults.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, there you go.
The internet has ruined you.
It has so many times.
Wait, is that all you wanted? Is that what you wanted this image of?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's why.
Nick, so you can't beat the elephant for sure in the Do you think how long do you think you can last?
You don't last very long. If the elephant's charged up and it's charging you, it's just going to trample
again, in its native tongue, it's been explained.
It knows.
Never forget.
There's nothing you could possibly do. You can't puncture its skin.
What are you gonna do?
You can't. Yeah, like this, you need a weapon, and even then, you're still going to die.
What's the smallest weapon that like you could use, you think?
I need a javelin, Kevin. Javelin right through its skull.
A javelin? You think you could chuck a javelin through an elephant's skull?
I'm really good with a javelin, Kevin.
Have you ever seen an elephant's skull? Like the bone?
Big.
No.
Thick.
It's got a weak point, though. It's like the Death Star, Kevin.
I don't think so.
Colossus.
Andy, what if you do this? Andy, the elephant's sitting there, right? It's just sitting there, and it's doing that thing that they do where they like kind of start, ooh, and it's charging up, charging.
Oh, I thought you meant the sideways thing.
No. It's not. It can do that too. It's doing a little bit, and you're like, oh, this thing's getting ready to charge up. But it's like it's doing the thing fighters do sometimes, where they'll kind of wipe their feet off a little bit, make sure they get a little like grunge on them, right?
Yeah.
And it's about to charge at you. You pick up the javelin from Suicide Squad, right? You hurl it. It dodges. The javelin goes and it kills Chuck the Iceman Liddell, who's
just Chuck Liddell is there watching this blood sport and he's right killed by still. A javelin.
No, he was up next for the battle.
He's like, oh no, Tim's got to fight now.
I hate to see it.
And then the elephant looks at me and goes, "Thank you. I didn't want to fight that.
I want to fight that fucking thing."
You look at this doofus. This is not nearly as cool as I thought an elephant skull would look.
Skulls don't look like fun. You always want skulls to be cool and look cool. They always
human skulls are cool as hell.
No, you've just been. Snake that's skulls. Just what you think they are. The dancing skulls is what you make. You know, you see all these dancing skeletons at Halloween time. You think it's cool. It's just what
I'm
you
right with
tripping,
you.
Dude.
Greg, cat skulls, dog skulls.
The equivalent of the X-wing design for humans is the Grim Reaper. There's nothing true. Fucking cooler cool. than a hood with a skull. Wait. That's it.
Yeah, no, the Grim Reaper's dope. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying like skulls are but never guys, as cool as they should.
Just for scale, look at the man standing next to this skull. That's a whole human being.
Yeah, it's a big guy.
Standing next to
he's at least 30 giant... feet behind, though.
Yeah, he might be like 5 feet behind. But, like, an elephant skull is big and
I
thick.
Will say, though,
there's
that
no
I'm
way
with...
you're piercing this.
I am with Greg, though, that there Thank are you. So many dinosaur skulls that you think are going to look dope as hell, and they never do. And it's because the dinosaurs got these big, like, empty nasal. Pockets yeah. where their nasal sinuses their and areas. It's like, these things are weak as fuck, dude.
Yeah, no, you want to talk about, like, you know, you get in a bar fight and somebody breaks your orbital bone. Think about if you were fighting a dinosaur. Their heads, they're all going to cave in.
I do often like to talk about being in a bar fight and breaking my orbital bone.
Yeah. That's the one bone that you think to yourself, do I need this bone?
I need to be careful with this one.
it's orbitable.
Guys, this is why people thought there were giant cyclopses existed.
Oh, because of the eye and the hole.
I thought the eye was in there. Was that just nose? Is that the nasal cavity? That?
Oh, what the hell is this?
What? This is the same thing.
I think why we get annoyed with it is because, like, I also want the ears to have bone. You know?
Sure. Yeah, it's cartilage.
Like, the elephant, I want the elephant ears to have a bone so it looks like, oh, that's an elephant skull because the big ears. You know, I want those to be made out of some sort of bone.
See?
But they're not.
Yeah, this is one.
Look at this one. See, he got pegged by a javelin.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh,
Kevin.
Right there, right between the eyes. You hate to see it. That's how you take him.
I'm in that 8%. I said yes.
You see Chuck Liddell behind him and be like, thanks, Andy. Good job. Yeah, I just sent you the one I was thinking of. It's similar to the one, but check this out.
Nick just keeps sending kangaroo photos.
This one's fucking, it's because it's terrifying. It's not a photo, it's a video. Watch when we play it, you'll see.
Oh, well, you asked me to send you a photo.
Yeah, no, this is look at this. Look at him flexing. You think you can take that, Greg?
No,
you take that right
there? Pocket. We don't know if he's strapped or not. We don't know what he has.
Oh, look at him. He's going for. Look at him. He's going. He's tying up with a Russian tie. There it is.
Aren't a snake. Aren't kangaroos like really horny all the time?
No, you think
they're just like us, Andy?
Kangaroos horny.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather around this table, each coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get two episodes each and every week. You can get them ad free. You can get them with the exclusive post show we're about to do. You could be watching them live as we record them like Kyle, the Lou, and Lexi GR. Of course, if you have no bucks toss our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. You have to get the ads. You don't get the post show, but you still have a good time.
Before the show ends, can I just read this headline? And I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to read the headline.
Okay. I think you can.
A lot of articles are talking about this back in 2016. The headline on Huffington Post says, "Grieving kangaroo," in quotes, is actually really, really horny, expert says.
What does that mean? I get it.
And every article says the kangaroo isn't crying, he's horny. And the next headline says, how kangaroo and viral photos are not grieving, it was horny. Every news outlet is just so frilly using the word horny.
Hey man, when they get their shot, they're going to be thinking.
Horny is...
Oh, I see. The morning kangaroo is trying to mate.
A whole new meaning to going down under.
Oh, God. Cameron, where can people keep up with you?
Easiest way to find me is on Twitter at Cameron Ken. That's CamerOnKen.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a post show to do, but if you're not coming with us, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.